Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody out today. Just to kind of let you know what we're doing today, we're going to bring the young folks up and wish to get some more. They ain't paying no attention to me, are they? Brother Caden's going to be leading singing today. Brother Sam and his family is kind of in a predicament. Her mother has took a turn for the, his mother has took a turn for the worse, and they're having to make some decisions today. I don't think it's to be fatal, I'll say it that way, but we need to be prayerful for them. But I want you to pray for these kids. They've been instructing on how to lead singing, and we're going to put them to work today. And I'm thankful for them. I want you to know that. But everybody grab a song book and help them out. Sing out good and loud.
We'll be singing 211 out of the blue book, 211. Page 241.
Thank you.
Thank y'all. You always take for granted everything, don't you? You take for granted somebody will be here to open up the doors, and you found times when somebody didn't get here in time to open up the doors. Sometimes you take for granted that somebody will be praying, don't you? Sometimes you take for granted, well, somebody will sing. I'm thankful that these young ones are coming along and helping out in the singing. I appreciate that very much. I look around most Sundays and to see who's singing and who's not. And I'm thankful when everyone is taking part in the singing. And if you've been saved by the grace of God, I want you to understand that singing is it's to lift you up, to get you ready to worship God. I'm afraid many times today we kind of have it in our mind, well, we just go to church and we just go through it and that's worship. Now, actual worship should be giving reverence to God. It should be praising Him. It should be glorifying Him in some form or fashion is what we should be doing. And so we should always keep that in mind when we come into the Lord's service. And usually where it starts is in the singing. We should start praying first, truthfully, but before we even get to the service. But it is a blessing to be able to sing the praises of God in this service today. I'm glad to see each and every one that's come out. I'm thankful that the young people have been leading the singing today, and I appreciate them so much for helping me out. When Brother Sam called me this morning and said he hadn't been able to get things arranged due to the shortness of it, Brother Fabian had to leave also and couldn't get a hold of Brother Randall, and Brother Key has been down, he said, but I'm in for a blessing today. Amen. I'm watching Brother Key and Miss Shirley walk in. I'm thankful for that. I think he told me the other day that it had been 6 weeks that he'd been able to be with us. I knew it had been a while. And I'm thankful that they're able to be with us today. And they ain't hearing a word I'm saying, so y'all can tell them I bragged on them earlier. Later is what you can do, but I'm thankful that they're able to be here and just appreciate them coming today. Let's be prayerful for them that they'll continue to get well, along with our other sick ones, the ones that are sick. Sister Nettie's back with us today. Brother Sunday, Miss Linda's back with us today. And we need to be continuing to pray for them today. And let's just pray that the Lord will take care of this service today. Now, Brother Stewart is going to be doing the children's church today. And so with that being said, I'm going to turn it over to him at this time.
All right. Looks like our crowd's a little low, but everyone come on up. We'll meet on this side right here. Anyone who would. Thank you each for being with us. I can remember when all these used to sit up here. Thank you each for being here with us today. As I was thinking about what we were going to talk today, I got to thinking about what's going to happen this week. What's happening? What's coming up this week? Thanksgiving. Okay. So what's Thanksgiving about? Eating turkey and having a good time. Okay. All right. What I want to do is for us to relate the Thanksgiving of the things that God has given to us and what He has brought forth. So I tried to find some verses that were talking about Thanksgiving. I'm going to read one, and we're going to use this later on. This is from Psalms, verse 107, verse 1. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." All right. We're going to come back to that in just a little bit. All right. So what do you all have to be thankful for? What has the Lord done for y'all this year? we're way into the year, or almost at Christmas time, really. So what has the Lord done for you this year? Anything? What are you thankful for? Okay?
Your mom and dad.
Your mom and dad, okay? Your cats, all right? Anything else? Has the Lord blessed you in any special way? Okay? Okay, you're thankful for God and Jesus. All right? All right. Since we're talking about Thanksgiving and we're talking about why we should be thankful, I thought maybe it'd be a good thing if we talked about a verse in the Bible where it showed thankfulness. Now, in Jesus' time, he traveled about and he was preaching, and he traveled, and at one particular time, he came into the city, and there were these 10 men, and they all had leprosy. And leprosy was a disease of the skin where your skin kind of rotted and kind of fell off and stuff like that. And if you had leprosy, you couldn't get around everyone else. You had to stay at a distance from them. But when they saw Jesus, they hollered out to him and asked him to have mercy on them and to heal them. And what do you think Jesus did? Get away from me, you leopards. You think that's what he did? No, he didn't, did he? He never would do that. He told the 10 leopards, he says, go and see the priest, for you are clean. And they all 10 turned away and started heading that direction. Now, he didn't touch them. He didn't make them do anything. He just told them they were clean. What happened when they turned to walk away? You think they were healed? Every one of them became healed. Their leprosy disappeared. And so they were all heading away, and one of them looked, and he looked at himself, and he saw himself, and he came running back, and he thanked the Lord. Thank you so much for what you have done for me. Thank you for curing me. Thank you for blessing me. He thanked the Lord. And the Lord was a little bit perplexed. He said, were there not 10? Where are the other 9? So I want to ask you, why do you think the other 9 didn't turn around and thank the Lord? What reasons do you think they didn't thank him? Think they were too excited? Why would they not turn around and say, Lord, thank you? Because they expected it, okay? That's a good answer. We'll talk about that. What else? Anything? Don't know. Okay. Basically, what you said is right. We expect things out of the Lord. Now, do we get it just because we expect it? No. We have to do what? We have to have faith. We talked about that earlier in the adult Sunday school class about how we need to strengthen our faith. And I want to kind of pose some questions for you all today because it relies on the thought of thankfulness. Is God just good every now and then? When is God good? All the time. God is always good. Yes, ma'am. For your whole life. That's exactly right. When you're facing hard times, we talked about this in class this morning, when you're facing hard times, when everything around you seems to be falling apart, does the Lord abandon you? He's right there with you, isn't he? So I want to challenge you this week to do something for me. I want each of you to think about what we've talked about today, about thankfulness. And I want each of you to either thank your parent, or thank a teacher, or thank a brother or sister. But most importantly, when you go to God in prayer, thank him for the blessings in which he has given you. Now, you remember that verse in which we recited? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Now, I'm going to read two parts, and I want you all to fill in the blank. So I'm going to go over it one more time and listen to it. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Okay? Now, I'm going to read the first part, and you tell me what the next part is. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good. Okay. The next part, his mercy endureth forever. Now, what does mercy enduring forever mean? God's mercy endures forever. What does that mean? Okay. He loves you forever. His mercy never runs out. It's always there for you. It's always there. So, with that, I want to make you think about thankfulness isn't a feeling. It's not something we feel. Thankfulness is a way of living. So you got to be thinking about thankfulness in your everyday life. And we're going to do a little different. We're going to close in a prayer, and then y'all will be free to go. But it's just a short prayer that I'm going to read, okay? Everybody get ready. Lord, thank you for your blessings, big and small. Help us to be like the man who came back to thank Jesus. Help us to choose thankfulness every day. Amen. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, Brother Stewart. Appreciate the good lesson for the kids today. It is Thanksgiving week. And Brother Stewart asked the question, what are you thankful for? Did you answer the question? Did you look beside you and say, well, I'm thankful for them? Or did you look up towards the Lord and say, Lord, I'm thankful for you? What did you thank the Lord for? Could have been like Cohen, you thanked him for your cats, for your dogs, or whatever it might be. In this week, let's take time to thank God in this week. It's good to see everyone out today. I hope and pray you've all been praying for this service. We all need each other's prayers, and I need your prayers today. I will say this again. Brother Key didn't hear it. I'm glad to see you here today. Glad to see you and Miss Shirley made it. We're able to come be with us today. He's had a rough go, and I'm glad he's able to be with us today. I'm thankful for that. I thought you was coming on in. You'd hear me talking, but you stopped on me out there, so... We are glad to have each and every one here today. Thankful for everyone coming out for our services. Appreciate our visitors being here. And we're going to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart? Let's continue to remember our sick ones. More than anything else, let's remember the ones that we look around and that we haven't heard them say they're saved. Let's remember them in our prayers. And let's ask the Lord to please, Lord, convict their hearts where they might get saved today. So let's be prayerful for them. I'll ask you to pray for me. Any other prayer requests to come before the church at this time? Let's remember this co-worker having knee replacement and then got a child going astray. Some of you know how that is. And that's something that you ought to identify with and pray for them in that way. So let's pray for these requests. Somebody else. Appreciate each and every one being here today. We're glad that you've come out to be in the house of the Lord today. We'll call on one to start our prayer, and we just want you to pray today. Whether you pray out loud or pray quietly, you pray. Make sure you pray for me. Remember these requests that's been mentioned. But let's just pray today. Brother John, if you would you start our prayer, please? Everybody pray.
We'll be singing page 103.
Thank you, Sister Rachel. I thought Brother Sam had contacted her, and I went over and I said, "You've heard Brother Sam's not going to be here." She said, "No." I hope we didn't give her too much distress today. I appreciate the kids. Amen. Sister Heather came up and helped them with the leading. I appreciate them doing that today. And sometimes we don't have it just exactly like we want it. But let's continue to remember Brother Sam and his brothers and sisters, that they might have knowledge to know how to handle this situation. Be prayerful for their mother, and pray for them in that case too. So it all kind of came up shorthanded, I guess you'd say. And so let's do remember them today in this, in our prayers, is what I should say. We're thankful for everyone that sang out. You did sing very good this morning, I thought. And I appreciate your joining in and helping out the kids with the singing. I appreciate them being willing to get up here. They don't know how much I appreciate that. Not everybody is willing to step up for the Lord's cause and the Lord's service. And I thank you for doing so today. And I hope the Lord gives you a great big blessing today, is what I hope he does. Anybody have a word of testimony or anything on your heart today? If not, we're going to take our reading lesson today from the 12th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. 12th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. As you may know, I'll say it that way, the book of Jeremiah is written by Jeremiah. Easy, right? Jeremiah was a prophet to the southern kingdoms of what we call of Israel, you might say, but actually it was the nation of Judah. He was a prophet to them, but he was actually not of the tribes of Judah. He was from the northern tribes. Probably at this point in time, he had already seen the destruction that had happened to the Israelite nation, to the north. He'd already seen what Nebuchadnezzar could do. And God had sent him to Judah. In other words, to be a warning to them about the pending disaster that was coming. Now, in this 12th chapter, you'll see a couple different references where that, I guess is the best way to put it, he likened them to particular things. Now, remember, we're talking about Jerusalem as a whole, the city, but also the nation of Judah itself is what it's talking about. But when we're talking about Judah or Jerusalem, especially, we're talking about the church a lot of times spiritually is what we're talking about. So kind of keep that in mind today as we have a short reading lesson. The very first verse is a verse that was made popular by a song that was sung on the Grand Ole Opry, I think, for several years is what it was. I've heard it sung in church over the years. The verse starts out in verse 9, "Mine heritage is unto me as a speckled bird," is what it says. And the song was "A Great Speckled Bird." Most of our preachers, older preachers especially, liken this unto the church, as they'll say it's a reference about the church itself. But it says, "Mine heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds around about are against her." I want you to notice that today. "Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field, come to devour." That doesn't sound very good, does it? He says, "Many pastures have destroyed my vineyard." Again, he's talking about Jerusalem or the church. "They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me, and the whole land is made desolate, because no man layeth it to heart. The spoilers are coming to," "the spoilers are come upon all high places through the wilderness. For the sword of the Lord shall devour from the one end of the land, even unto the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace." And that's a reading lesson, verses 9 through 12. today for our reading lesson. As I said, this reading, this prophecy was initially given to Jerusalem itself and to Judea as a nation. It talks about in this lesson here about it being a wonderful thing in God's eyes. A great speckled bird is what it talks about. It is a city that is highly favored of the Lord. Now, in this reading lesson, you'll notice in verse 11, it says, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. Now, the pastors, you can call us preachers. You can call it the leaders of the nation. You can probably consider it to be the priest and the religious people that were in the land at that time. Now, if you consider it to be the priest and the Levites, especially during this time, in that they said, they have trodden my portion underfoot. In other words, they've stomped it. They walked on it. How many of you has ever had something that you considered it to be very precious to you? You thought a lot of it, and maybe you dropped it or something like that, and somebody else just came along, not paying attention, and they stepped on it. Maybe they broke it is what they did. Maybe they just ripped it right good or something like that. They trod it underfoot. Have you ever had somebody that takes something of yours away from you, and when they got it, they throwed it on the floor, stomped it right good, trod it. They had a mind to tear it up is what they did. But it says here, they had made it desolate. That means making it like a desert area is what he was talking about. In spiritual terms, the nation of Judah, it says, itself was a desolate area as far as the religion of God was concerned. You mean Jerusalem, where the temple was, Solomon's temple, that great building that Solomon had reared up to worship God in, that place was desolate. Spiritually, it was. Because that they had actually defiled it, and what they had actually done was that they had brought in idols into the temple itself. They were not worshiping God himself. Oh, they worshiped him in a sense, but truthfully, they worshiped the idols. They worshiped the gold. They worshiped everything about the temple, but they didn't worship God is what they did. So it became a spiritual dead zone. The actual reason for the temple was that people might go and commune with God in that place. But it became a desolate area. Now, my message today, and I especially want the young ones to pay attention today. I want everybody to pay attention. But I want the younger ones to maybe put things away for a little bit. And you might think within yourself, it doesn't matter to me now. I'm doing what mom and daddy says. But I want to plant a seed in your minds today to be careful of where that you go to worship. That's what this message is going to be about. I want you to be careful about what you worship today. I believe in this day and age, we have probably a lot more idols than what Israel had in their day. I read one time how many different thousands of different gods that are in this world today. And I honestly believe there's more than what we realize. That's just what I'll call the name brand gods. You know, like Buddha, a cow, a calf, a golden statue of some sort. These things are idols in our minds. But in many cases, and let me back up and say, in all cases, what a true idol is anything that you put between you and God. Anything. Now, if that's your spouse beside you, that becomes an idol. If your child, if you put your child between you and God, that becomes an idol. It's important for us today to put God first in our lives is what we need to do. But the warning here today is that you need to pay attention to what you're worshiping. You need to pay attention as to how you are worshiping God today. I want you to go to 2 Peter, the second chapter, is where we're going to start with this message. Because you are the great speckled bird today. And notice that all the other birds, they've come up against you. You are that great speckled bird. Now, a lot of people have in their mind, well, one church is just as good as another. It's not. If you'll pay attention to what they are preaching, oh, they preach Jesus. We'll get into that in a little bit. But not everybody preaches Jesus the same way. I want you to listen as we read a couple of verses here in the second chapter of 2 Peter. He said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Peter makes a reference to the time of Jeremiah, basically. He said they had false prophets in that day. They led the people away from God. They made it desolate there in Jerusalem. He said they would come up and they would tell the king is what they would do. Oh, God, there's nothing going to happen to this city here. And Jeremiah would tell them, God has said he's going to destroy this land. This land is going to become a desert area in this way. But what they say, he says, this will happen to you also. Now, at the time that Peter is writing this letter, the church is already scattered over what we would call Europe and Asia and Northern Africa at that time. But he was putting out a warning unto them. He said, as there were false prophets in the days of old, there'll be false teachers in your day. Be careful with these things. He said, who privily, in other words, will come in at just at anything and bring in damnable heresies. Now you might say, what is a damnable heresy? A damnable heresy is anything that goes contrary to what the Word of God is saying. I realize today that 95% of the churches in this town here today have a Bible much like this one. But the way that they interpret it becomes a heresy in that way. Have you ever heard someone come up and say, well, it's in the Bible that you've got to do a good work in order to get saved? You know, do you realize that is a heresy? Have you ever heard someone come up and say, well, you've got to be baptized as a baby in order to go to heaven? That's a heresy. It's not in that book. They'll take scriptures out of context and will tell you that is a truth of God, but it's not in there. Now, what I'm trying to say to you today is to be careful what you listen to. Be careful where you go to worship God. I realize that many times our young ones, they'll say, well, I want to go to church with my friends. I understand that. I did that when I was young. I did go with them. But thank the Lord, I never went to one that was what I would call a false teacher in that day. I could have been drawn away very easily. But listen to what he says. It is a damnable heresy, even denying the Lord that bought them. You understand today something, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is what will bring an individual to the saving power of God. It draws them with the Holy Spirit together, drawing individuals to where that they can put their faith in Christ, not in themselves, but in their faith in Christ. And he says, they will bring unto them a swift destruction. Now, what that is talking about, how many times have you saw someone that is brought up in the Lord's church, and maybe because of marriage, sometimes because of some other thing, they get drawn away to a church that will teach an individual, well, all you've got to do is come up and shake the preacher's hand and you'll be saved. All you've got to do is come up and make a profession to other people, is what they'll tell you. Maybe they will bring out a Bible and read certain verses, and they'll say, do you believe these certain things? If you do, you're already saved, is what they'll say. You see, what I'm trying to warn you about, there's individuals out there that are trying to deceive you and your children. That's what they're doing. They're trying to bring about things that will deceive you. I'll get into the reason for that in a minute. But he says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. Now, what that word pernicious means, it is words of ways of upsetting individuals. Have you ever had somebody come in and just walk up to you and you say, did you know that the pastor did this? And he said this about you. Maybe it wasn't the pastor, maybe it was a sister. Maybe it was another gentleman in the church. But because of their upsetting language to you, they bring in these things. And they are out to disturb the ways of God. Do you realize that when the children of Israel were at their very best time was probably in the days of Solomon. They had everything at hand. They had a new temple. They had a new place to worship. They were following God. They were at peace in the nation. But there was those that came in among them, even in Solomon's house, and what they said, well, I'd like to worship in this way. What did that mean? Do you realize Solomon's wife was an Egyptian woman? His first wife was an Egyptian woman. You know what she wanted to do? It's not knocking the fact she was an Egyptian woman, but it wasn't long until that they caused him to build a temple that they could worship in. What did that end up doing? They had 40 years of peace. But when he died, his sons, they basically argued over who was going to be king. And when one was chosen, there was one that raised up outside of the family. And basically what he did, he caused a great division. You got 10 tribes up here. You got 2 tribes down here. And it makes a split kingdom. Well, that seems like, well, that won't hurt a thing, will it? You know what he did? That guy, he decided for himself, I don't want those people going back down to Jerusalem to worship. They might decide they want him for a king instead of me. So what did he do? He made his own temple. He made his own God. He caused the people to say, this is who we're worshiping. And it brought certain destruction upon the land of Israel. He said, in these days, these pernicious ways, their upsetting ways caused this division in them. Now, what he talked to said, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. You see, individuals today that are false teachers, they'll tell you, you can't know that you're saved. They'll tell you, well, you got to get baptized to be saved. They'll tell you, you need to do this thing. They'll tell you, you got to be a member of their, quote, church, or they will, you'll not ever get to heaven, is what they'll do. Now, I want to move over just a little bit into the 17th verse of this same chapter. And what he said, these are wells without waters, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. In other words, they have nothing inside. They have not the Spirit of God. Oh, preacher, you're judging them. I'm not judging them. This word is judging them. He said, they're wells without water. Okay, if he's not talking about salvation, what is he talking about? Maybe he's talking about their message that they bring. If you hear a lot of these preachers today, and I'll just reference the ones on television and ones that's on the internet, you'll hear a lot of what we call prosperity, what they call prosperity preachers. These prosperity preachers, basically, they get up there and they say, if you'll trust God, he'll give you these things that you desire. Now, the term that was given years ago was, if you want a new Cadillac, you pray to the Lord and he'll give you a new Cadillac. That's not the way God works, is it? But they preach this kind of prosperity is what they do. They preach in this time the things that will cause them to think, well, if I follow this group, I'm going to prosper. Now, listen to what happens here. He said, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity. Now, great swelling words. Now, yeah, I'm loud. But swelling words are words that are meant to tickle the ears, is what it's meant to do. It's meant to give you a thought, well, this is great. He's not making me feel bad. You know, one time I had a young lady that was coming to a church, I'll say a family, a young teenage girl that was lost. She was a sinner. And after a while, they stopped coming to church. We got in contact with them, talked to them a little bit. Well, she didn't like going to church because she felt like you was preaching directly at her. So we started going to blank church, and she likes it over there. Notice what I'm doing? It didn't affect the heart, did it? Now, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Now, there's a lot of times when individuals that are sinners, they don't want to hear the truth of God about them being a sinner. Truth be told, there's a lot of times when we as saved people, we don't want to hear about being a sinner, do we? Am I right? So we go somewhere where they talk vanity. Do you know what vanity is? It's a useless language. It's something useless. It really has nothing to do with true salvation. You see what I'm talking about here today? There's individuals out there that would steal you from God. Those individuals are messengers of Satan. Oh, no, no, preacher. They're Christians. They are. They tell me they're Christians. They're worshiping God. They've got a Bible just about like yours. They've got a Bible that and their message sounds good to me in that way. But what they're really doing, they're filling your minds with things, and basically they are nothing needful for your soul. Remember, you've got to worship God in spirit and in truth is what you've got to do. Now, what he goes on to say here, he said, they allure with the lust of the flesh. Think about that. They're bringing to your minds those things that draws you in. They allure with the lust of the flesh through much wantonness that were clean escape from them who live in error. In other words, they had gotten to a place where they'd almost gotten there. They'd almost gotten saved. They seemed to be almost. It doesn't mean cleanness, saved, being saved, but it's almost there is what they are. And what he goes on to say, and when they speak these things, drop down verse 19, while they promise them liberty. Liberty is salvation, isn't it? Okay. They promise them salvation. They themselves are servants of corruption. Okay. Jesus made a quote one time, and he was talking about the Pharisees. And what he said in the, I believe it's the 13th chapter of Matthew. He said, if the blind lead the blind, what will happen to them? They'll fall in the ditch. They'll both fall in the ditch. Now, I don't think we've got anybody here today that is what we would consider blind. But if you took, each one of you took somebody by the arm, and you said, I'm going to get you out of the church house and into your car, but we're both going to close our eyes where we cannot see. What I'm asking you, how likely are you to find your car? If the other person has got their eyes closed and you've got your eyes closed so that you cannot see, how likely is it that you're going to find that place? Now, what Jesus was speaking about unto the Pharisees, he said, if they're blind, if they're not saved, if they're just pretending to be saved individuals, notice what he said, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. They don't know anything about salvation. A person who is not saved cannot tell you how to get saved. I realize today we've got our phones that can tell us how to get anywhere, right? We punch it in, I need to go to Vanderbilt Hospital, punch it in. Okay, it tells me take this road, go this way, that way, that. Okay, that's fine and good. But if you've got to rely on that to tell you how to get to God, by the way, heard this past week. Did you know they've got a new AI system where you can talk to God on? Basically, it's AI talking to you. No, I talk to God personally. I don't need a computer to tell me what God is saying. What I'm trying to say is, be careful. If you go and visit these places, go in watching. Now, you're going to probably say I'm a little bit proud here. You're a little bit arrogant, preacher, in what you're fixing to say. What I'm saying is, if it don't preach and practice like right here, you better leave it alone. Now, some people may not like that, but you better leave it alone. And if you think I'm arrogant about this, listen to what Paul says in the first chapter of the book of Galatians. In the sixth verse, and let me back up. Galatia, the church of Galatia, which Paul had set forth in that area, that church was worshiping God. They were getting saved. They were feeling salvation. I have no doubt they were worshiping the Lord. But there came in those that came in and basically they said, You've got to do what the Jewish people said. You've got to follow the law of Moses. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to do this and that, just like the Jews did, or you're not going to heaven. Listen to what Paul said. I marvel that ye so soon removed from him that called you into grace of Christ unto another gospel. Whoa. You think that statement's close to what I said? Pretty close. Listen on. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. Remember those perverse words? He said, there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Remember I said, there's those individuals that will take the word of God and they'll pervert it and say, you don't know that you're saved. They'll tell you, well, you've got to do this rather than put your faith in Christ. Remember, they'll come along and they'll say, you don't even have to repent to get to heaven. Where I find in the scriptures, the Bible says you've got to repent and believe with all your heart, mind, soul, and body. That's what it's telling you. He said, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though, now get this is where it's close to my statement. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have was we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. I'm just as bold as Paul is on this now. If you try some other way of getting to heaven, you're not going to get there. It's going to come by this gospel. But if you've got individuals that are coming along and they're tickling your ears and trying to get you to a place where that you can basically just say, well, it sounds good to me. They're telling me I can get to heaven this way and I won't have to repent. I can just like it this way. Beware. Beware. Why? Remember that great speckled bird? That all the birds were gathered around it, not to praise it. Remember, they called in the beast to devour it. Who do you think that is? Well, the instigator, I like that word, instigator, wants to cause all of this was Satan, right? It was Satan. And Satan didn't want the Lord's church to prosper. He didn't want anybody to tell anybody about Jesus and about his saving grace, about getting saved by faith and through repentance. He didn't want anybody to do that. So he gave them other things. One of the first heresies that was brought out, and I've done brought this up, was that, and this came in the days of the apostles. They said, except you be circumcised, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, we're going to cut off a piece of flesh, and that makes it where you can go to heaven. Okay? Later on, it got changed. In history, it got changed by, well, since baptism is so wonderful, it surely had something to do with salvation. So we'll make it where that you've got to be baptized in order to go to heaven. That was what they did. It wasn't just somebody coming along all of a sudden, I've got this new idea, we're going to do it this way, and never mind what the scripture says. It was somebody come along and said, well, let's try it this way for a little while. It makes sense, don't it? Doesn't it? We put such emphasis on baptism. You know what they did next? Well, I don't know if that person got baptized in time. Maybe they sinned after that. And so, what about the children? Did they they didn't get baptized in time and they died, well, they must have went into hell like that. That was where, this is the way it worked. You know what they did? They said, well, we'll baptize them younger. Didn't have to be a believer's baptism like we teach and what the Bible teaches. They said, we'll just start baptizing. You know what it ended up being? When that a child was born, I'm talking about at the birth bed, they took the child and they took it over and they immersed a newborn baby in water. I'm talking about completely immersed a baby in water. Oh, they're taken care of, you know. You know what they did next? They said, well, the babies are dying. You know, you get water in the lungs, cause pneumonia, baby dies. Well, we can't have them dying. Well, we'll just take a little bit of water and we'll sprinkle it on them. That'll be good enough. Doesn't matter that Scripture says to dip in water. That'll be enough. Later on, they decided, well, you had to pay to get them baptized. I'm talking about paying money, whether they had or not. You see, this is how false teachers work. And you might say, well, preacher, why are you preaching this today? How many of you know somebody that was brought up in this church, or maybe a church just like this, and they left this for something easy? How many of you? What Jeremiah was doing was warning Jerusalem of what was fixing to happen. Are you going to listen to him? Did they listen to him? No, they didn't. They found an old teacher over here and said, oh, it ain't going to happen that way. We're too powerful. God would never allow that to happen. You better cling to your children. You may think this is a harsh message, but I want you to be warned. Teach your children to hold on to the truth. Teach them, please. That's going to be my message. Sister Rachel, if you can just come and play us a song, you won't have to leave. I want us to contemplate these thoughts today, and I want you to understand, when you listen to the way the Spirit of God preaches through men, it'll all be about lifting up the name of Christ. I want you to just sit there and think about what God had granted you as far as salvation is concerned. I want you to think about how that God gave you a chance to hear about him and hear about true salvation. Won't you think about that? Wouldn't you want your children to have that? How about your grandkids? I want you to think about that. Not too long ago, I saw a young couple brought up in this way. Both of them told good testimonies. Got angry over something. And they left the church. They went down to one of these churches that basically took the name off the door. And basically what they did is they went in there, they got their coffee, they got their drinks, and they sat down and they listened. The parents said, well, at least they're going to church. Notice I said, at least they're going to church. They baptized one of those kids this past week. little brother told he was saved. I don't know. Now I want you to think about your grandkids. Where would they go? Would they turn away from God completely? Teach your children to pay attention to the old God called preachers. It don't have to be me. But know what you're listening to. Know what you're listening to. And teach them to cling to the old time way. While we play, think on these things.